At the Subbets convention, we had a reunion for Archerfish, and I was reminded of a story that we have posted on our website, and it's actually appeared with permission in American Submariner. And some of you may have heard the story, some of you not. Unfortunately, the story is copyrighted, but it's been hijacked and shown or displayed other places. But as they say in the Navy, now this is no shit. And I apologize to the ladies in advance, there's a little rough language in here. But this is called The Goat on the Boat. Of course, it's not to be confused with Cat in the Hat, and we apologize to Dr. Seuss in advance. This is the true story of the famous goat and his brief tour of duty on Archerfish. And you thought they only dreamed this stuff up in Hollywood. January 18th, 1961, topped off with 7,300 gallons of marine diesel fuel during the morning watch and put in a normal battery charge at night. We are ready to leave the cold of New London and head for the West Coast. All that is left to do is say goodbye to the barmaids, taxi drivers, cops, and shore patrol. We'll do that tonight. Kenneth C. Pigpen Henry. Speedy and I were wandering down Bank Street when we ran into Nick Ross. He told us he knew a farmer that wanted to sell a rooster and a billy goat. We jumped in his pickup truck and headed for Groton. We bought both of them for $15 and took them back to New London. Galen O. Turkey Neck Steak. What prompted us to want a goat, God only knows. Maybe we were looking for a little loving, and after striking out with every barmaid on Bank Street, decided to try our luck with something really wild. Anyway, we bought the damn things. The rooster was a bonus, and I think it was included because it and the goat were stable mates, and the farmer didn't want to separate the two. We got back to New London with both of them and paraded up and down Bank Street until the shore patrol stopped us. We were in dress blues. The conversation between the wagon driver and the shore patrol headquarters went something like this. Wagon driver, hey, we've got two drunk sailors and a goat and a rooster. What do you want us to do with them? Headquarters, after a long pause, you got what? Wagon driver repeats the transmission. Another long pause. Headquarters, are they together? Wagon driver, best I can tell, one says they're shipmates and they refuse to be parted. Headquarters, how drunk are they? Wagon driver, well, the goat and rooster are sober, I think, but the other two, well, let me put it this way, they're under their own power as long as the goat holds them up. You want us to bring them in? Headquarters, hell no, just tell them to get off the street and stay off. Not long after we got back to the Dolphin, a group of us decided we were hungry, and we ended up in the hygienic restaurant to get something to eat. The goat acted like he was really hungry, and we figured a salad would taste just right. We ordered a bowl of cereal for the rooster. John D. Speedy Gonzalez. Speedy took the goat, and I took the rooster into the restaurant. By this time, four or five other Archerfish sailors were with us. We ordered the goat an extra large bowl of lettuce salad, and Looney Stevens broke up some cigarettes in the bowl to add flavor. The goat ate the whole thing and was looking for more. At the same time, I got the rooster a bowl of cornflakes. He liked them. Turkey neck steak. My son and I traveled to Norfolk from Norfolk to New London to meet my husband when Archerfish returned. Rick had been transferred to Comsevron 6 for shore duty a couple of weeks prior to this incident. I'm sorry to say we were still hanging around New London. It was a Wednesday evening, and the three of us went into the hygienic restaurant for a late evening meal. We had taken our coats off and hung them up on the hooks at the end of the booth while we were eating. Along with everyone else in the place, we stopped eating to watch a bunch of loud, drunken sailors come through the door and sit on most of the seats at the previously empty counter. To make things worse, they had a goat and a rooster with them. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. But then my husband, Rick, went over and talked to them. They were his old shipmates off the Archerfish. I stared in disbelief. Those guys were the mangiest group of people I'd ever seen. They looked and acted like the dregs of society. I was shocked when the waitress not only served them, but fed the goat and the rooster without protest. So much for the name hygienic. The final straw for me was when I looked around and saw the damn goat trying to eat the sleeve of my fur coat, Candace Harden. When everyone was finished eating, it was time to head back to submarine base. The rooster and the goat went with us in the trunk of a taxi. When we got to the base, the Marines on the gate checked our ID cards and then waved us through. They survived the cab ride, and we took them both back to the boat, Turkey Neck Stack. It took two cabs to get us all there. When the Marines on the gate leaned over to check our ID cards, he could hear the goat bumping his horns inside the trunk, trying to get out. He asked, "What's that noise?" Speedy was sitting closest to the Marine. As soon as the noise started, he bounced up and down in the seat. He was making his head hit the liner of the cab. At the same time, the goat's horns hit the trunk lid. He was yelling, "It's me! It's me!" The rest of us were stomping our feet on the floor of the cab to further confuse the sound. After a pause to consider the situation, the Marine must have decided it just wasn't worth the trouble and waved us through the gate. The topside watch just shook his head as we led the goat across the brow to the back to the after battery hatch. There was a battery charge in progress, and we had a hell of a time getting the goat down the ladder. We finally yelled, "Look out below," held it over the hole by its horns, and dropped it. The guys that were playing poker in the mess hall got a shock when they looked around to see what hit the deck. Kenneth C. Pig Henry. January 19, 1961. I had the duty the night the goat came aboard. I was scheduled for the 4 to 8 topside watch, so I had hit my rack in the after battery early in the evening before. Shortly after midnight, I woke to a horrible racket coming from the after battery. The after battery goat locker. Soon the noise and the cause of the noise disappeared into the crew's mess. My curiosity got the best of me, and I got up to see what was going on. When I got to the crew's mess, there was a rooster on one of the tables and a goat by the deep sink. Red Dog was kneeling next to the goat, comparing beards. Considering I had been on board only for a couple of weeks, I kept my mouth shut and headed for a corner table to watch some real pros in action. Man, were they bombed. Nasty Ness was saying that he could take care of the rooster, which he did. Nasty was the cook. He took it into the galley, and I never saw it again. God, I hope he didn't feed us to us later. The goat's buddies were all laughing about how they had taken the goat and the rooster into the chief's quarters, the goat locker. They put the rooster on the chest of a sleeping chief that had just come back from leave and was in bed in bad need of both sleep and sobriety. It must have been the aftermath of the chief being awakened by the rooster scratching his chest and the goat eating his blanket that he woke up earlier. It wasn't long before the goat and his buddies headed aft for a tour of the boat. Garrett T. Kelly. I didn't cook the damn rooster. In fact, I don't think the rooster ever made it to the boat. The only time I ever remember seeing the rooster was in the Dolphin. Pig and I were sleeping on the floor in the kitchen when the noise out of the bar woke us up. About that time, the goat wandered in the kitchen and looked around. We got up to see what we were missing, and when we got to the bar, Speedy and Turkey Neck were telling the story of where they got the goat and the rooster. At that point, the goat was running loose on the dance floor, and the rooster was sitting on the bar. I remember a woman in a booth raising a howl about the goat and the rooster being in the bar, but I have no idea who she was or who she was with. I do remember that the dress she had on was the same color as the rooster, since they matched. I thought we should give her the rooster. When we all got back to the boat, I lost interest in everything except the poker game that was in progress in the mess hall. Pig and I bought in and forgot all about the goat. Jim Blackburn was the below decks watch at the time. Maybe he remembers something about the rooster. Dale A. Nasty Ness. There wasn't room to keep the goat in the after battery, but there was lots of room in the after torpedo room, so we all headed aft. When we got to the forward engine room, the goat really put up a fight as he didn't like the noise of the charging engine. Dockenhausen had the charge and said he would watch him. We tied him to the ladder in the after engine room and went back to the mess hall to watch the poker game. Kenneth C. Pig Henry. On Archerfish, the engines in the forward room are reversed to what they are in most other Fairbanks boats. The throttles for one and two main engines were in the aft part of the compartment, and the blowers faced forward. We were on the finishing rate of battery charge with number two main engine online as the charging engine. I was sitting on the bench locker leaning against the side of number one main engine doing what all good throttlemen do at the time of the morning when charging batteries and torque. You figure it out. My back was towards the watertight door to the after battery as I was facing the gauge, and I was facing the gauge boards. When I felt the pressure change as the door from the after battery was opened, I turned my head expecting to see the below decks watch or the electrician who'd been hopping gravities step into the compartment. Before I realized what was going on, a wild-eyed goat jumped through the door. He had a collar around his neck and there was a long chain attached. As the goat scurried to get away from whoever, as the goat scurried to get away from whoever had the other end of the chain, he finally pulled Jim Moran through the door. My first fear was that the goat's chain would become caught on a fuel line, kick drain, or something else that would force us to secure the charge. When we got next, when he got next to the blower intake and felt the hair standing up on his neck, he really panicked. I was finally able to pull the goat and push the line of drunks that were following him into the after engine room. That's where I left them. The last thing I saw was Turkey Neck Steck feeding the goat lettuce and giving him some water as they tied him to the ladder in the after engine room. After they all left, the goat actually looked relieved that his buddies had gone. Lawrence A. Dockenhausen. I was the charging electrician in the maneuvering room. It was a little after midnight when I heard a strange noise coming from the after engine room. We were on a one-engine rate, and I could hear what sounded like chains dragging across the deck plates. The last time I looked up, there was the throttleman in the forward engine room that was somewhere between reading a book and taking a nap, so I knew no work was in progress. Out of curiosity or boredom or both, I walked around the cubicle and looked through the watertight door to see what was making the noise. There in the middle of the engine room was a goat. At first, I thought it was one of the chiefs. Then I realized it was a real live goat. It even had horns and a beard. The only thing that was keeping it there was it was chained to the ladder. I could tell right away the goat didn't like the noise or vibration. Didn't know a goat could shit that much. William E. Robbie Roberts. On the one of the duty engine was leaning against the deep sink talking to us when Duke Durgan, who was the duty officer, came through on his way aft. He saw him and asked, "Who has the charge in the engine room?" The engine man answered with a straight face, "The goat." Assuming it was just another nickname for one of the crew, Mr. Durgan said, "Okay," and continued aft. It wasn't long before he came back yelling, "There's a goat in the engine room!" The engine man told him, "Of course there is. I told you was. He has the charge, sir." That was my cue to go topside and relieve the watch before it got any worse. Garrett T. Kelly. Duke told us to get the goat out of the engine room and off the boat. We tried to convince Duke that he should let us keep the goat as a mascot. Duke presented some real sound reasons for getting rid of the boat to each of our arguments except for one. When he tried to reason with us by asking, "What about the smell?" one of our troops shot right back, "The goat will get used to the smell." "We did, sir." At that point, Duke said we could keep him in the after torpedo room for the rest of the night. We had to get rid of him in the morning. Kenneth C. Pig Henry. I arrived at the boat and realized that we had a beast in one of the engine rooms. All of this was shortly prior to getting underway. The goat had snaked onto the base by hiding himself in the trunk of a taxi full of our engineers. It was a pretty funny sight, indeed, but caused me a bit of stress. Stress is often caused when one wants to buckle over with laughter, but must, as duty, show sincere anger. It was particularly stressful for me as the XO when, as ordered, the engineers were forcing the goat to leave. There was a pair of arms stretching through the hatch from above and a couple of guys trying to push a goat upward with the goat's butt in someone's face. It was like trying to stuff a live cobra up a tiger's ass. None were happy about the situation, particularly the goat. As I said, I found it quite stressful and I'm still receiving therapy for goat trauma. David K., XO, Dimmick. We found it was a lot harder to get a goat off a submarine than it is to get one on. After several successful attempts, We tied a line around the goat's horns, and a couple of guys went up the after room ladder to pull. We got the goat under the hatch and lifted it as far as we could while the guys topside pulled. Greasy Joe got the goat's ass on his shoulder and supported him while we got the head and front quarters in the trunk heading in the right direction. The guy's topside pulled, Joe pushed, the goat bellowed to shit all down Joe's back. Joe didn't like it, neither did the goat. After a lot of pulling, a lot of pushing, a lot of shitting, the goat finally got on the deck. Once we got him topside, we had to figure out what to do with him. Kenneth C. Pig Henry. Soon after the XO came aboard in the morning, someone from the after room came topside to find the line that we used to raise and lower the GDU cans up and down the after battery hatch. I followed him back to the after room hatch and watched as he dropped one end into the room and yelled, "Tie it to the horns!" And two of us pulled the line while others in the room pushed and still others reached down the hatch to pull on the goat's horns. Finally, he was topside. I don't know who was happiest, us or the goat. I know he got sick on the after deck and they led him forward to the brow. Not knowing what else to do with him, they tied him to the dumpster at the head of Pier 9 and left him there. It wasn't long before I saw a couple of Marines making their way to the head of the piers, checking for illegally parked cars. They checked this car, then that one, then this goat, then the car, then another car. Suddenly they slammed on the brakes, backed up, stared in disbelief at the goat. The goat stared back. They drove down the pier and watched. Talked to the topside watch on the boat on the south side of the pier for a couple of minutes, and they came over to talk to me. They wanted to know who the goat belonged to, and I told them I don't know who the goat belongs to. He was there when I came on watch. I guess the topside watch on the other boat must have told him the same thing, and they sped off to get instructions on what to do next. Thankfully, I got relieved before anything abnormal happened. Garrett T. Kelly. Soon after the Marines left the area, someone suggested that the goat was probably hungry, so we took him over to the front of Building 1 and tied him to the fire hydrant with a heaving line. That gave him plenty of room to graze on the lawn, the shrubs, the flowers, and the gardens. It was quite a traffic jam in the lower base that morning as people slowed to stare. A couple of careless drivers even mashed fenders. It wasn't long before some guys in a Navy truck arrived on scene and took him away. Wasn't fair. We wanted to take him to Westpac with us. Kenneth Pig Henry. The goat soon became a member of ComSub Lant Med Group staff. Commander George Bond accepted the goat. I last saw the goat while it was working in the submarine escape training tank with Bond's researchers. I was told that the goat had served well in the field of medical research. He was in a project that involved filling his lungs with a special liquid that allowed him to actually breathe underwater for a couple of days. The goat later died of pneumonia while in the line of duty. Someone said the goat had its former residence somewhere on Bank Street, and they shared a co-op or coop or whatever with the infamous chicken of Bank Street, David K. Exodemic. As an addendum to the story, after returning to the Navy and to New London years later, I was assigned to the corporal, SS 346. One day I was sitting in a gin mill telling the goat story to a couple of guys at the bar that obviously didn't believe me. You can imagine my surprise when the old guy down the bar, a couple of stools, broke in and said, "That's no sea story, guys. He's telling the truth. I was the cab driver." He continued his story by telling just how he had stopped at the main gate and the goat started to kick in the trunk. At the same time, the sailors in the taxi started singing and stomping their feet to cover up the noise of the goat was making. It worked, and he delivered his passengers, goat and all, to the lower base without further incident. Garrett T. Kelly. And we have pictures to prove it. And what reminded me of the story was this, because one of my shipmates wore his shirt to the reunion. But there we have the throttle. The throttle was. Like I say, you thought they only dreamed this scrap up.
You can't make this stuff up.
Thank you, Jerry.